This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Great FM. I'm your host, Ahalya. And as we inch closer towards the end of the year, it's time for those conversations that make us reflect and predict. Though I do think we have those kinds of conversations a lot on Great FM, but you know, with the time and everything, it's even more relevant. So today we're going to be putting the Middle East under the microscope because, let's be honest, this geographical boundary has got the world talking these past 2 years. It has seen unprecedented growth, is primed for more. And at the heart of this rapid evolution lies the Middle Eastern HR fraternity. We've talked a lot this year about the why and how of that as well. You know, bolstering companies for success, protecting them against the headwinds of AI, and nurturing diversity to create a robust workforce is a very, very difficult to-do list that the Middle Eastern HR fraternity is handled with quite some ease and is very, very commendable. And this rapid growth really wouldn't be possible without intelligent, bold HR moves that we've seen. And yet the way of the world is, you know, to be kept on your toes. So let's take a look today at what's happened in 2025 and what's to come for this wonderful community in 2026. We've got with us Meher Sabag, who is hopefully ready to pull out his crystal ball. Meher, are you ready?
Yes, for sure. Ready. Looking forward for it. Thank you very much for the invitation. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all the audiences around the world. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
We are so glad to have you here because, you know, as someone who has been in the position of head of HR, people and cultural advisor, you are a very experienced C-suite leader, Meher. And, you know, what really stands out is your keen focus on HR strategy, right? I mean, you've led transformation and change leadership in the top FMCG and Fortune 500 companies in the Middle East, Europe, Africa, Asia, and emerging markets. Currently, you serve as the Chief People Officer and Board Advisor at Amicaverse Holding and have proven your strengths time and time again in strategic leadership and adaptability, having successfully implemented many high-impact initiatives throughout your career. So, you know, you are the right person for us to be moving into 2026 with. And I think I'd like to start with just how, you know, your year in HR has been, Meher. Could you tell us, you know, what's worked, what hasn't, what's excited you, and also maybe what's bogged you down a little bit in 2025?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's 2025 has been one of the fastest year, as we always say. Every year becomes faster than the year before. Have been a very busy year for the HR arena. I mean, what really worked well is the acceptance of AI into the HR arena, the understanding that AI is here to stay, AI is here to help and support our HR community. AI has become more beyond what is like drafting email, etc. So there is a big awareness of the AI within the HR community. Also, what makes me more excited, the awareness of the importance and the awareness of employee well-being and mental support to people, to employees. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. One of the things that we're still, I mean, things that I would say bogged me down a little bit is the extra mile that we need to do for HR empowerment within the region. Mm-hmm. This is the thing that we need to work out more and more. And this is where HR needs to build more understanding of the business and the commercial understanding so they would be more empowered and be having their seat on the table.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, like I said, we've spoken about HR in the Middle Eastern context a lot this year, and that's with good reason. So that's a very valid point that you just bring up. And I think, you know, they always say the proof is in the pudding. And I think the proof is just in how valuable HR has been to companies in the geography over the past couple of years. And I'm sure that that tide will turn soon. You know, it's a very unique context as well, Meher. So is there anything that really surprised you about HR trends in, you know, the Middle East this year? Anything that really stood out that you weren't really expecting at the start of 2025?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you look into all the initiatives going on in HR and you look into the structure and nature of the businesses in the GCC region, in UAE in specific, we're talking about big family businesses that are in charge of a big part of the country's GDP, let's say, conglomerate, large businesses who've been there for like 30, 40 years. what really stood out for me that those family businesses are now, or the HR who works in those businesses are putting extra effort on the succession planning and talent management, because they have seen that having a robust succession planning ensures the business stability, consistency, continuity as well. And this is one of the ways to be able to compete in this volatile period or times we're going through, whether it's regional, economical, or political, and so on. So that's something really surprised me in a positive way, and it's a good step moving forward, frankly speaking. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, you know, such an important part of the entire HR universe and task list, right, is to really be actively making sure that succession planning is in place. We've had a great conversation on Great FM about this as well. For anyone listening, if you're interested, go check that out. But, you know, at the beginning of the conversation, Meher, you immediately spoke about AI, right? So I want to talk about that a little bit. AI has been reshaping the HR function in myriad ways over the past 1-2 years, I think, especially with, you know, the advent of very specific HR technologies and things like that. But let's apply that to the Middle Eastern context. How has AI reshaped the HR function there specifically in 2025? Is there any kind of emphasis on AI in the HR world within specific areas in the function?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as I mentioned earlier at the beginning of our conversation, that the better understanding of AI is becoming more and more important. And even I see businesses are adopting the use of AI and pushing the internal learning on how HR, other functions, to learn how to use AI. And, you know, when you go enterprise account, that's also gives the businesses more protection. How I see AI reshaped or shaped the HR function, it's very important to look at it from a compliance, governance, usability. To us, AI is now not only for, I mean, we've passed over the idea of creating policies, procedure, drafting this form, this template, draft me an email, and so on. No, it's now becoming part of deploying agents. We have AI agents who works on organizational design. We teach agents and we create agents to help us on process mapping, charts, and so on. So it's beyond the task and the administrative part for the AI in the HR function. And it's also, I mean, the usability, it's becoming more and more and created awareness for HR people in terms of working closely with other functions like legal, finance, and so on, how to create compliance, how to create AI strategy, we need to draft data protection, what can we do, and such a thing. So it opened our eyes on a different level from that perspective. So it really played a big role to shape it in a way that AI is not only doing administrative tasks and drafting the XYZ minimal things. No, it's something bigger and more important than this.
Could we stay with that for a minute more, Meher? Mm. You know, in your own experience, especially occupying a leadership position within HR, right? Talk to me a little about your own experience with AI. Did it sort of change over the course of this year? You know, like you said, the shift has gone from just automating tasks to, you know, being a strategic advantage, right? So how have you sort of played around with AI, and how has it changed your own leadership style, perhaps, within HR?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking this question. For me personally, I'm still learning as much as possible. I'm still educating myself on the usability of AI, how to prompt, what to prompt, because it's all about the way you prompt. Using the AI has shortened the time and effort I need to spend on doing some time-consuming activities and tasks, where it gives me more focus and more time to focus on the organization, on the culture, on the leadership building, on communicating with people. This is where AI gives you this kind of a relief. It's a tool that if we use it rightly and we use it smartly, let's say, it will give us extra time, extra hand to be able to focus on the big picture. and to move out of those frustrating, repetitive, time-consuming tasks. So I'm personally educating myself every opportunity I can just to learn more and more and to master it, actually. And it speeded up my process to make a decision or to make an action because I have the tools that I can utilize properly. Yep.
Yeah, Meher, you know, that's wonderful to hear. And I think it's very valuable to hear that perspective from someone in a leadership position as well. Because I think at the beginning of this onset of AI, right, there was a lot of hesitation. There were a lot of concerns even within the HR fraternity, like, you know, many other communities, that AI was going to take jobs away or it was going to completely replace a professional. But I think what you've raised is a very valuable point, that using AI actually gives leaders and professionals the time to think out of the box and, you know, frees up their time to do what we need them to do the most, right? Which is be innovative, be thinking individuals. So it's very important for us to hear that from you. And also another off-the-cuff question, right? Again, with regards to AI, for all of the younger HR professionals out there who are probably at the early half of their career in HR in the Middle East, do you think learning and skilling in AI is going to be something that sets people apart and, you know, make some people win and others maybe fall back?
Yeah, that's a very important point. But going back to your comment, that it is very important to keep reminding ourselves that AI, when it came, there was an anxiety, fear, because of lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. People thought, oh, we will lose jobs. But yeah, I mean, every technology comes, every industrial revolution comes. It will create job losses, but it will create new jobs. I mean, look at it now. Some jobs were lost because of AI, but at the same time opened another horizon for data analytics, programming, coding, et cetera, et cetera. But going back to your point, absolutely, it is very important. And I keep reminding people that we need to look into upskilling and reskilling. And this is what gives us as an HR leaders the opportunity to think on looking into our team, our people, where do we need to reskill in certain areas, where people need to upskill in certain areas, all to keep on being part of this greater cycle, let's say. But yeah, AI opened our eyes on this area, and there is a lot going on now on this arena. Also, this is where AI gives time to us to think of people development, organization development, how we can link people development to cope up with the business model that is evolving, with the operational model that is evolving, so we can keep on being part of the whole process. Yeah.
Fantastic. You know, I think it's very important for us to really dive deep into the AI conversation because, like you said, there's going to be so much to look forward to in 2026 and everyone should be keeping their eye on the ball. So, you know, let's move into really what HR has got right in 2025 and what it's got wrong in 2025, right? Lists, this is the listicle generation. It's how we read quite often. So why don't I have you list out first the three things that HR in the Middle East has won at in 2025?
I would say, well, first one is about paying attention to well-being, mental support. This is one of the things that I have seen is growing tremendously in the region, in the Middle East. There is a big attention for it. The other thing would be promote and sell the businesses as an employer of choice with all the initiatives that has been presented in terms of reward, compensation. So there's a kind of a more awareness on designing the right benefit, the right packages, the right offering. Despite that, in some areas, people would say, well, there is, you know, less pay nowadays. But I mean, look at the economical situation and compare the Middle East compared to other regions. Mm-hmm. And you will see where the influx of people, where the influx of businesses coming over from which countries, from which regions. So this is one thing. The third thing I would say that I have noticed this year, there was a special attention into people development, apart from financial offering, people development, career development, some attention to learning and development. I've noticed for this year. If I would say the three things HR need to get right, I'm still a vocalist about HR empowerment. Mm-hmm. We as an HR leaders, as an HR people, we need to be empowered more. And I'm not saying that we need to be empowered, that we sit and we just wait other businesses to empower us. No, we need to play a big part of showing how we are a business partner. So we need to see to gain this empowerment by proving ourselves. I am a firm believer that in HR, we still need to work more on the setting up the right budgeting, calculating the right costing, working on the overall cost to company in terms of people costing and manpower planning. And the other thing will be, I mean, it's these are the key 2 points. Let's say third one is go beyond the transactional. HR as a transactional function. No, HR needs to be more on the strategic, needs to be more into the decision making, and needs to be more part of the whole business cycle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a solid list. That's a solid list that people can make a note of. But to pick up from your last point there, you know, as a business driver, as a growth partner, what do you think need to be the biggest focus areas for HR professionals, teams in 2026? You know, key business areas that they absolutely have to tackle and pay attention to in the next year to, I guess, secure their place, their seat at the table.
I would say immediately the manpower planning. We need HR to be more into the manpower planning and the resources. In several sectors, we see there is a growth, there is demand. Equipping ourselves with the robust understanding of the operating model and the business model. This will give us more one step ahead in order to be ready, because I don't like to see us as an HR as a reactive. Mm-hmm. And say, oh, now we have people left, we need some new people. No, we have to have this proper manpower planning, proper pipeline filling with the resources and get things ready. So this is one of the things we need to be attentive for in the coming year, in the 2026. Plus, we need to pay attention and we need to look into the talent retention as well, because there is a movement of people within across the industries. And again, I'm saying it because the Middle East is having its moment in terms of growth, in terms of initiatives and activities going on, starting from the expo that happens in Dubai during the COVID all the way until now. We haven't seen the region settle down. No, we're still, every day there is something new. So there has to be a proper talent retention in order to achieve this, you know, business to flourish.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are two very important areas that need work. And I think HR teams have their work cut out for them. Now, in terms of skilling, because that's also been a very important part of the general HR conversation, though I think a lot of times we tend to turn the mirror the other way, right? Which is, hey, these are all of the areas in which HR needs to facilitate skilling for employees. But what about HR professionals themselves? They're not exempt from it. So what, in your opinion, are the key areas of upskilling that you would suggest every HR professional focus on in the coming months so that, you know, they're really prepared to deal with 2026 is, you know, throwing that way?
100%. I agree with you. We are human and we are part of this big cycle, and we need to pay attention to our HR's team, to ourselves as an employee, as people part of the organization. And there is always a need for continuous skilling and upskilling as well. I would say that from an HR, we need to equip ourselves or upskill in terms of how to understand and comprehend the data, how we can use data, how we can work on the data to be able to make an informed decision based on right input. So we can really ensure the right the ROI, you know, the return on investment that we are seeking, because at the end of the day, we look at it as a bottom line. Okay, so every business look at the bottom line. So we need to make sure how we can we work with data analytics skills, how we handle it. So this is one thing that is very important for HR people. Not having a dashboard of cosmetically nice and look nice and numbers and colors, though. What is the use of these dashboards and the data we put and we generate so we can make the right decision?
Yeah, the substance, right? That's what we always need to dive into. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as I said at the beginning of the episode, right, it's all about reflecting on 2025, but also looking forward. What is the biggest lesson that the year has taught you as an HR leader? And what are you moving into 2026 with, man?
The biggest thing is communication. I'm a firm believer of communication. And involving the stakeholders and every HR project that you're doing, because it's not impacting you as an HR, it impacts the organization.
Yeah.
And if you communicate properly, rightly with your peers, with your XCOM, with your team members, and explain, show the right roadmap, show where we're going, where we are today, what's going to end up to, what's in it with me, for me, everybody will be part of this journey and you will gain the support and you will gain the momentum. Communication is very important in my opinion, and to be open and transparent. We're human. We make mistakes. We admit our mistakes and we need to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the biggest lesson, is keep on communicating what you have, what you plan, what you want to do, and get the right tools and people will line up behind you and will support your initiatives.
Yeah. Good thing we've got you on a podcast then, right? If you like communication so much.
Thank you. Great. Yeah.
Great. And as we reach the end of the conversation, Meher, it's time for you to pull out your crystal ball. I know the predictions are not always set in stone, of course, but when we have a leader like you with so much rich experience backing you, it's important for us to get, you know, your contrarian predictions for the HR function in the Middle East in the year of 2026. So give us something that, you know, maybe we're not thinking about or maybe we're missing in the big picture.
It is one point I would say that we need to, as an HR leader, we need to work on the leadership skills for top management. And we need to be bold enough to be able to express our point, our views to our leadership, to our top management. I would say if you see the CEO, he runs the business, but sometimes a CEO needs you to challenge him to understand the situation. So we need to have the HR strengthen up, you know, go up with their game, with their strength, and to be able to focus on building leadership and improving leadership. Because I see there is a big gap between the top management and the middle management and the execution team, let's say, on the ground. So that's one of the things. Not everyone who carries the title means he is a leader. Okay, when there is a difference between leader and manager, some people got their leadership role because of the, you know, tenure, family, whatever, but that doesn't mean he would be a right fit of being a CEO of the business. And this is where we need to step in and to be bold and say it. Nothing personal, no harm, because we think of the business.
100%. The truth tellers of any business, right? Because at the end of the day, what is a business made of? It's made of its people. And I think HR in many ways are sort of the guardian of the people and therefore the organization. Amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Meher, for being here with us as we, you know, close out the episode, wishing you a very happy 2026 way in advance. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today, and all the very best to you and your amazing HR teams and everyone in HR functions in the Middle East.
Thank you very much, Ahalia, for this opportunity. All the best and happy new year in advance.
All right. We'll catch you
very
soon on Great FM, everybody. Stay tuned, but also stay safe and stay happy.
This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.